All right, joining me now is Colonel Sean Smith. Colonel, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Brandon. How are you?
I'm great. I spent the afternoon reading your declaration, and it reads, as I've already said a few times, it reads like a Tom Clancy novel.
I wish it was. I wish it was fiction.
Well, let's talk about who you are. You have your master's degree in national security affairs from Naval Postgraduate School and in aeronautical science from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. You've held an active top secret security clearance since 1992 and have been cleared for sensitive compartmented information since 1996. Your military occupational specialty was space and missile operations, and you have extensive experience over 25 years of active duty service in operating, specifying requirements for, planning for, procurement of, training, testing, and commanding the employment of complex computer-based military weapon systems. And you even worked in the office right near the Secretary of Defense in the Pentagon, true?
True.
All right.
Although I technically worked in an annex, but yeah, my boss was directly underneath the Office of Secretary of Defense. And although I don't know that they got along. My boss really was an advisor to Congress, and so he had tremendous latitude and independence. The only person who could fire him was the president, and that never happened.
Wow, interesting. I bet you have some stories you could tell.
Some I can't.
All right, I'm going to read from this and then have you respond. So I've marked it up.
Okay.
Targeting U.S. voting election systems must be extraordinarily high priority for foreign powers. It is inconceivable that given the opportunity, foreign powers would not have taken the opportunity to exercise control or influence over U.S. elections, elected leadership, and thus foreign and domestic policy through supply chain attacks on U.S. election systems. Explain more about that. And when you use the term supply chain attacks, you're not talking about baby food at our local grocery store.
No, I'm not. So we have offshored, we have moved most of our manufacturing overseas. In particular, we have moved manufacturing over the course of the last 20 years, and especially the last 15, of our computer and electronics components and integrated systems, mostly overseas, and mostly to the People's Republic of China. So our dominance in computer-enabled warfare did not escape their attention. So following Desert Storm, Desert Shield, our other intervening operations, our foreign adversaries, potential adversaries, our competitors, paid attention to how we waged war and how that was enabled. And since we handed them the gift of putting them in charge of manufacturing the majority of our immense dependency on computer-based systems, then they set about using that to their advantage. They didn't just get our money for manufacturing them. They also have been, undertaking an enterprise campaign level, Manhattan Project on steroids level effort to infiltrate and compromise our computer and electronic systems. And it's happening. It has been happening, and it is happening at a scale that most Americans can't even comprehend, the amount of intellectual property that has been taken from the United States, that we've paid for, that is now equipping, People's Republic of China's People's Liberation Army. So their attacks include compromises on our information systems, economic systems, all of the things critical to national security. That's why I say it's inconceivable that they would not have gone after election systems.
And you even say after leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. That's happened.
And we, of course, we know the CIA, the FBI. I mean, there are all kinds of stories where these guys have been moles and been doing damaging stuff to the CIA or the FBI for decades before they're even caught.
Yeah, that's a fact. Sometimes as long as 40 or 50 years. I mean, they've gotten secrets from us as significant as design of like neutron bomb. They've had infiltrators within, very senior leaders within Congress. And more junior members. I mean, everybody's familiar sort of at some level with the scandal of the Chinese spy involved with the Swalwell campaign, the romantic involvement, or the Chinese spy that was embedded inside Dianne Feinstein's staff. But not everybody understands that those were people those were people working for the Ministry of State Security in the People's Republic of China. And it was part of a massive campaign on their part. So either you believe that those are the only two infiltrations, and that's where their programs stop, right? They've gotten into Microsoft and Amazon and Apple and Google, pretty much every defense corporation. They got into, you know, national security establishment. Either you believe that they got into that and not into our election infrastructure, or you believe the obvious, which is that they got into our election infrastructure.
Let's go to page 8 of your declaration, which, by the way, let me go back to frankspeech.com. If we go to frankspeech.com, here it is, right here, right under player. There's player 1, and then there's player 2, and then right there, injunctions to terminate the machines. Click it, and you can actually read his declaration, Sean's declaration, that we're going through right now. Let me go to page 8. I quoted this while ago to Kurt, attorney Kurt Olson. You write, the U.S. no longer manufactures the majority of computer chips hardware it uses. While in 1990, the U.S. manufactured 37% of the world's semiconductors or computer chips, by 2019, the U.S. made just 12% of world semiconductors and 8% of U.S. computing hardware, and those numbers have continued to fall. You write, the People's Republic of China, in particular, is estimated to manufacture about 70% of U.S. mobile phones and 90% of the world's personal computers, and the People's Republic of China is the primary source for computer imports. And then we could add to that what's actually the components in the voting machines, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, even when you have a system, so there are, you know, some components that are still manufactured in the United States. For example, most of the Intel processors are still manufactured in, like a lot of are manufactured down in the Ocotillo plant in Chandler, Arizona. But even there are a tremendous number of foreign nationals that are involved in that production, you know, as engineers, very senior positions, people who are on H-1 visas. These are not people, you know, that we have security background on. Their involvement is a deep concern to me. But without that, you know, all the other components pretty much are manufactured in either People's Republic of China or some in Malaysia, few in the Philippines, but mostly in China.
And the concern is that whether the people that are designing it here in the U.S. or because they have known people who designed it, there are back doors and things that have been installed in it that allow enemy states to access that and then flip votes through back doors. I mean, let's say maybe the voting machine companies don't even know it, right? I mean, they could know it. They could be bought off. They could be front people for the bad guys. But they could also just be stupid and greedy and don't know it. And yet they've been exploited and there's back door there. And someone, an enemy state, is penetrating and changing votes. As we just saw, it looks like from Garland Favorito's reporting today with us, 13 to 15% of the votes given to Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who, by the way, supposedly negotiated the $100 million contract with Dominion. Voila, he gets 13 to 15% of the votes and not even entitled to him. One lady, a Democrat, gets zero votes. She screams and hollers and find out after they do a hand count, she actually goes from being in third to in first.
Yeah, most secure in history, right?
Right.
Is that Paul? Yeah.
And yet that same government, the Cyber Infrastructure Security Agency, who said it was the most secure election ever, comes out, you know, June 3rd and says, there are vulnerabilities in the Dominion system that could allow for votes to be flipped, but that's never happened. Well, they wouldn't know because there's not enough information there for probably most of them to have secured the information, as you detail in your report, to even go back and do an audit to know that the votes were flipped, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So everybody remembers when Chris Krebs and CISA and the joint memorandum from the sector and government coordinating councils related to elections, when they came out and said it was the most secure election in history, there was no way for them at that point, and they still haven't gone to get the data you would need to assess that. And in a lot of places, you couldn't even get it. For example, in Colorado, where the Secretary of State has systematically destroyed election records, or in Maricopa County, Arizona, where they systematically destroyed election records, you wouldn't have the artifacts that they would need in order to determine if it was secure or not.
And that was through the trusted build, as they called it. Such a nice sounding name. Trusted build update. Like we'd update our computer, they updated the machines. And of course, Tina Peters, by law, was required to back that up and secure it. She did. That's how she was able to see that when they went in and did the trusted build, that they actually deleted the information, but she had it because she followed the law, even though she's been persecuted and prosecuted for that, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was more than just the trusted build. They also had the official certified configuration included prescription from the Secretary of State that required the county election officials to configure their systems in a way that would automatically destroy election records because the folders for the log files that they need to retain were, a hundredth of the size that they needed. And then also they deliberately did not select, or they very prescriptively did not select an option that would keep those files from being destroyed. So not only did the Secretary of State, not only are they trying to prosecute Peters for backing up those files, which, she had no mechanism from the Secretary of State to do, and the Secretary of State disagrees that those records should be preserved. They want to pretend that they're not election records, even though they're explicitly listed as required records in the voting system standards that the federal government has promulgated and that are minimum standards under Colorado law. But the other county clerk in the state who made a backup of his files, Secretary of State sued him in court and got a judge to agree to force that clerk to turn those records over to the clerk.
Wow. All
So
right.
again, she's in a position to destroy the only copy of the records that she didn't have before.
All right, let's go to page 9. I'm going to have to fly. Page 9 of your declaration. The supply chain threat for critical computer-based infrastructure is so severe and extensive that the computer networks of the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, is the very U.S. government institution responsible for critical infrastructure security, were compromised by software supply chain attacks in 2020. The SolarWinds, Sunburst, and Supernova attacks for 10 months or more without detection. And even then, that compromise only became known to CISA due to the intervention of a private company. So the government agency that's supposed to secure our elections, keep things safe, they get compromised. They don't even know it. That's how clueless or out of touch they are, ill-equipped to do this job. They're compromised for 10 months. They don't even know it. A private company has to tell them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like having a police officer having their car stolen that while they're standing next to it and while they're telling you how safe the neighborhood is. Like I don't think we're going to take your word for it because you're either incompetent, or it was true but you didn't say it.
You knew it was true, and you allowed for the intervention to occur because you wanted it to occur, because you set it up for your buddies, because your enemies, foreign and domestic, working together.
That's a possibility. I don't want to speculate about what their intent is, but I know that they're not credible as an organization or source of information about what's secure and what's not secure.
But you could have bad people get into office that use their position in those jobs to make something not secure so that the enemy domestic can give the access to the enemy foreign. You could have that happen, can't you?
Yes, that's called an insider threat.
In light of CISA's inability to defend even its own computer systems from nation-state level supply chain attacks from March through December 2020, little credence can be given to CISA's July 2020 declaration that the 2020 election would be, quote, the most secure election in modern history. I'm going to keep moving quickly because there's so much more to get to. You mention in your report the Chinese Ministry of State Security, or the MSS, the Chinese Ministry of State Security. Speak to me about that group, please.
Well, it's massive. I mean, think about sort of CIA and NSA combined, except that, they don't ever run out of people, right? I mean, they have more than three times as many people as the United States has, and so they can just throw people at a problem.
Say that last li wait, wait, wait. Say that last sentence again.
The People's Republic of China never has a people problem. They control all markets there and what people work for. They control what people study in school. So they can pick whoever they want. They can have as many people on a problem as they want. So the MSS is huge. I mean, it has massive
But
resources.
you said it has how many compared to America?
Well, the China has more than three times as many people as the United States has, right?
Yeah.
Well over a billion people,
Yeah, I could say
so.
they're like 1.4 or 1.5 billion.
Right. I mean, they've tried to reduce the number of people, mostly through murdering
One
infants
child
and
policies.
dissidents and things like that, but yeah.
So you say that the Chinese Ministry of State Security, or its predecessor, known as the Ministry of Public Security, infiltrated the U.S. Department of Army during World War II. before the Department of Defense existed, and later the CIA. And some of that infiltration went undetected for 4 decades, passing critical information to the People's Republic of China, e.g. directly affecting Nixon's 1972 reapproachment with the People's Republic of China. In 2020, a former CIA officer was arrested for spying for the People's Republic of China's Chinese Ministry of State Security from 2001 through 2020. So what, basically 19 years, in cooperation with a relative who had been a CIA officer in 1970s. Each of these cases, you write, the Chinese Ministry of State of Security, recruitment and use of infiltrators and technical collection against the U.S. were not discovered until long after the damage to the U.S. national security had been done. And so I guess your point is, this could very well be going on right now with our voting machines.
I assume it is, Brandon. That these are not stupid people. They're very deliberate. They've had a very well-funded, massive campaign underway for decades. Right? It's not an accident that they undercut everybody else's prices for manufacturing. They gave the largest computer manufacturers in the world sweetheart deals so that they would be the ones producing the computer systems. So they've made it easy for them to put the entirety of those systems in the hands of manufacturing that is controlled effectively by the People's Republic of China with embeds or, you know, additional control from the People's Liberation Army. So if they wanted to insert compromises into U.S. computer technology, they have the means, they have the opportunity, and they certainly have the incentive.
Okay, and then you write, in 2020, the U.S. Department of Justice indicted 5 APT-41 operatives. Okay, APT, I see from your report on page 12, that stands for Sponsored Advanced Persistent Threat, correct?
Yeah, an advanced, it doesn't have to be sponsored, but most of them are, because the advanced and persistent part require the investment of large amounts of resources.
Okay, so why do you call them APT-41? What's the 41 part?
So 41 is just the number of their sort of discovery and naming. So if you're walking down the street and you found a tin can and you called that tin can one, and the next can you found was tin can two, that's how they get numbered. So the APT is a designation for a threat that is, this is not, you know, simple hacking. This isn't just a non-state actor. Most APTs are state sponsored because of the resources it takes, right? These are massive campaigns. They're at it for decades. There are people in the APTs who, you know, started 10 years ago as a recruit out of a top university in the People's Republic of China, and now they're recruiting other people. This is a national campaign from these nation states.
So you state that in 2020, the U.S. Department of Justice indicted 5 of these operatives who helped hack more than 100 U.S. companies. 100! And the FBI was well aware that the operatives were working for the Chinese Ministry of State Security. The FBI's and Department of Justice's public statements acknowledge that the APT-41 supply chain attacks and the association with the Chinese Ministry of State Security. You say CISA has acknowledged as early as October 2020 that APTs have targeted not only the federal government, but state, local, tribal, and territories government, critical infrastructure, and elections organizations, including successful APT establishment of unauthorized access to election support systems. So while they're running around saying Mike Lindell is crazy, he's a conspiracy theorist, these are all been debunked. Reality is our own FBI and Department of Justice has acknowledged as early as 2020 that some of these groups were penetrating election organizations and unauthorized access to election support systems. So it turns out he's been right as all along.
Yeah, he's not wrong. They've known for a long time. This is part of what was so frustrating for me as I was finishing up my service in the government, is recognizing that some of our institutions were aware of the degree to which our national security and economic institutions were targeted, and their response to it was anemic. There was something within our government, you know, within our institutions, that was impeding an effective defensive response, including an effective response to hold the hackers accountable. Holding 5 of these hackers accountable is so much a drop. It's not a drop in a bucket, it's a drop in an ocean. This is a massive nation state level campaign against the United States.
And yet
So
we
that's
don't, and yet we don't have, we don't have the skilled, you write, page 31, the lack of skilled, qualified, expert cybersecurity personnel at state and local government helps explain the insecure state of our nation's centralized statewide voter registration systems. So this is a huge thing, and we don't have the proper people trained to put in the safeguards, much less detect it.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. What we have is institutions that are invested in propagandizing the American public to try to reassure them about something that isn't true. They're trying to tell the public that these systems are secure, that they've got it in hand, you can trust this. None of that is true. Remember, the people behind those reassurances are the same people that could not secure their own networks.
You write that voter registration database security, which is acronym is VRDB, concluded only 25 states reported meeting an 8-character password length requirement to access their voter registration database security. So 25, only 25 states. So that leaves us in America with 25 states, since there's 50 states. 25 states open who don't even have the right 8-character password length. I mean, that's just number one.
Yeah, and that, the other thing to know about that is that that's training wheels. So an 8-character minimum is not even remotely long enough to be sufficient. And the reason for that is because, if you can collect the hashes of passwords, which they can do through lots of different techniques, the shorter the password, the easier it is to brute force crack. And so the way they do it now with like rainbow tables and other techniques like that, as well as access to, very high speed computers. If you have an 8-character long password, that's not even 2 days to brute force.
And that's just one. The next one was only 15 states. So out of 50 states, only 15 states require multi-factor authorization to access their voter registration database security. Let me skip over to page 38 due to time. We're running out of time. You write on page 38 of your declaration, now available at frankspeech.com, and I'll show you before we go where again, folks. An adequate audit should confirm or refute each of the following four statements. A. No eligible voters' ballots nor ineligible ballots, e.g., subsequent illicit ballots cast from an otherwise eligible voter or a ballot cast too late to be counted or without proper credential verifying eligibility, were counted. B. Each eligible voter's cast ballot was counted and only once. C. All legitimate ballots were counted accurately. D. Tallies for each contest, race, or ballot issue accurately reflect the sum votes on eligible voters' cast ballots. No more and no less. And what you're saying is, if you don't have the ability to do A, B, C, and D, you do not have an adequate audit system to go back and check if we've got a problem, correct?
That's exactly right.
And
Yeah.
how many states have this ability?
The ability, all of them could do it. How many of them have procedures in place and a habit of doing them or statutes or rules that require it? Zero.
How many of them have trained people that can do it?
That's a fair question. I think probably none because what the states, because of the Secretary of State's, the National Association of Secretaries of State, the National Association of State Election Directors and the EAC, the Election Assistance Commission, because what they have pushed are these very limited audits and things like risk limiting audits, all of which are just grossly inadequate from an auditing standpoint. If these were financial audits, they would be rejected by any standard of auditing. But because they get to pretend that, there's something different about elections, they've asserted these different standards and then trained all the institutional people involved. And so they all nod along to it as if it's sufficient, but it's not even remotely sufficient.
So
They
that's either because of incompetence, laziness, or bought off, right?
correct. Yeah. Some people, you can be misled, right? If you're in an unfortunate position, and like if you're a citizen in North Korea, and the only thing you've ever heard is that the, dear leader is a god, you might actually think the dear leader is a god.
Okay, so maybe the fourth category I should add is you've not been properly trained.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the case. So I imagine this is a mix of people who know the information is incorrect and people who don't know the information is incorrect and have never bothered to look beyond it. And then people who just, you know, don't have the capacity to understand that the information might be just be propaganda. The people who actually, you know, are smart enough to say, gosh, does that seem right? We already know who most of them are because they're being persecuted by the left and the establishment.
Oh, yeah. You write this. In other words, election audits must be able to detect fake voters, fake ballots, and fake ballot counts. You say that a risk-limiting audits, which is what most of them do now, is completely incapable of detecting fake voters and fake ballots, and it's unlikely to detect fake ballot counts, in part because the risk-limiting audits not only rely upon black box risk limit audit software and hardware, so that the randomness of random CVR selections must be in question, but because they rely upon data provided by the voting systems themselves to identify and select the CVRs for comparison and are executed without independence, expertise, or access to full forensic evidence. Layman terms, tell me what that means.
Well, you got a credit card, I assume. Imagine if your credit card company was only looking for math errors instead of looking for fraud. Then credit card fraud would be massive. Right now, it's somewhere between 1% and 2% of transactions per year. It hovers there because the fraudsters continually develop new techniques. So risk-limiting audits, as a premise, you know, in principle and structure, they are not capable of detecting fraud. It would be like you only look for mathematical errors, like, oh, they got, you know, it was a $67.52 transaction, not a $67.51 transaction, as opposed to somebody using your card who didn't have your permission. That's the problem with RLAs. They are completely inadequate and unsuitable for fraud detection.
Folks, if you want to read his full declaration, look here, frankspeech.com, injunctions to terminate the machines. There they are. His is number one. We haven't even gotten to these other folks, which I hope to endeavor to read them, mark them up, bring them all on as Mike Lindell tries to get rid of these machines with these injunctions. The first one in Arizona, the plaintiff Carrie Lake, and the defendant Katie Hobbs, Arizona Secretary of State. My guest has been Colonel Sean Smith. He is the president of Cause of America. What's your website, Sean?
Causeofamerica.org.
Causeofamerica.org. Thank you, Colonel, for all your work and your service that continues to this day. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Brandon. Take
Great
care.
Report. Great report. All right, folks, if you appreciate what we're doing, we need your support. MyPillow.com. Use that promo code B66. If you also like what I'm doing with all the work, all the research, all the reading, putting out my books at darn near my cost or below, you can just support me. WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com. Many of you have asked for that. Say, we just want to support what you're doing, Brandon. WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. However you do it, thank you. Thanks for watching. Take care.